Right, coming up on the programme later today, I'll be talking to Mike LaSurf. I'll be talking to the boys from the band from County Hell as well. Right now, though, is an old friend come in, a former presenter on Phoenix, a gentleman that you'll know very well by the name of Ches Moulton. Ches, good morning to you, sir. Nice to see you again.
Well, good afternoon.
See, I never know what time it is.
Yeah, that's all right, yeah.
Let's start with a little synopsis. You've got a lovely new book out, How to Have a Healthy Relationship with Ourselves and Others. Let's go back, way back to your career. After you finished school, how did you arrive at this point? What did you do before that? What was your background?
Well, a lot of people that get into this field, and I must admit I'm one of them, we ended up very early in our careers trying to look for answers for ourselves. And that's what I did. I started to look for answers for myself. Started a journey back in the 80s sometime now, way back when. And I started as a lay counselor. Went out and got some certifications. I have 3 postgraduate diplomas in hypnotherapy with psychotherapy. I ended up learning about psychotherapy, about human development, human behavior. Took what I knew from my own journey, what I learned along the way. I've been doing this for now about 25 years.
So you must have been very young when you started. That's an unusual thing for a young man to decide to want to do. And where were you brought up?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm originally from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Right, okay.
I'm a Haligonian. That's what we call ourselves. We're Haligonians.
Right, okay. Yeah. My ignorance, is that a French-speaking part or is that
that's an English-speaking part. Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, right on the East Coast.
Oh, right on the East Coast. Yeah, close to Nova Scotia. Yeah, geography's
right.
Gone.
But that's all right, yeah. Nova Scotia is Latin for New Scotland.
Yeah, of course it is. So why did you make those choices, do you think, as a young man?
I've always been interested in people. I can remember back when I was working part-time, working my way through high school when I was about 15, 16, 17 years old. Some of the staff who were, at that time, twice my age, were coming to me and telling me their problems and telling me what was going on in their life and asking me for advice.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they come back a couple of weeks later and say, well, that was great. Can you tell me some more? I mean, I don't know. It's just for me, it just seemed to come naturally. It was like a little bit of common sense and a little bit of forethought. I guess I was always
And you hadn't been out in the world yourself at that time?
Not too much. I mean, yeah. I've been running the roads, running the streets since I was about 12.
Right, okay.
When my parents allowed me to go down around the corner on my bicycle, I was around the corner, I was off into the rest of the city.
Yeah, absolutely, we all were.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely, yeah, sure, yeah. So that's how it got started. I just started to analyze people. I started to listen to what people were saying. Effective listening, I think, is what they call it today.
You must have been a very sensible teenager then.
Yeah, talk to my family about that one. Yeah, I guess I probably was to a large extent. Yeah, I would have to, as much humility as I can muster, I would have to agree with that. I was probably one of the more sensible ones, yeah.
Okay, and did your parents say, what are you doing? What is this you're trying? I don't understand what you're doing here. Go and get a job. Was that their attitude, or did they support you?
No, my parents have always supported me. This has been lovely. I was a little bit of a late bloomer, to be honest with you. I went, because of when I was born, I had to wait that extra year to go to school. I've just been a late bloomer. I just figured it out a little bit later than everybody else. But when I figured it out, I realized that I got it.
Okay.
And I guess that's when I started to have this inclination to want to sort of go out there and explore and talk to people and find out how everything works. My favorite question growing up was why.
Right. Okay. So, let's ask you why then. Why then? So you did your learning experiences. Mm-hmm. You got your diplomas, etc. Mm-hmm. So once you've done all that, a lot of people do that and then they don't know what to do with it. Yeah. What did you want to do with it?
I wanted to put it to use. I found the information that I got from the learning experience just absolutely fascinating. Mm. I mean, it opened up a whole lot of things for me in terms of how I could understand how I worked and how other people around me worked. Then I figured out if they worked the same, then what's the common denominator? And there are several common denominators through all of human behavior. No matter, once you're alive on the planet today, there are common denominators in all of what we do.
This has got nothing to do with religion in any
form. No, not at all. The farthest thing from it.
Right. Okay. So basically, you're talking about logical thinking, then, really.
Logical thinking, emotive thinking. There's basically 3 things that we do as humans. We think, we feel, and we act. And in the book, what I do is I attempt, and I think I do a pretty good job. What I do is I explain why we think, feel, and act the way we do, how we got that way, and if it's we're not comfortable with the way that we do any of those things, how we can make the changes in our life that would give us the effect that we're looking for.
Is this a book that you have wanted to write for ages, or just haven't had the time, or had the equipment to do so, or is it something that you have suddenly thought, you know, this is something I must do?
It's something that I thought that I must do. And this is a culmination of what I've been doing pretty much for the last 25 years. I always thought I had something up there that I had to say. I knew I had a message, but I wasn't quite sure how to frame that message. And I was motivated around this time last year, actually, to sit down and start putting that, you know, on paper, such as it were, well, on my screen, but you know what I mean, on paper, getting it out of my head. And the first 11, there's about 37,000 words in there. The first 11,000 words was just basically what we call a brain dump. I mean, I couldn't get it out fast enough. As soon as I started to figure out how I wanted to frame it, my two little fingers that I type with, you know, they were just zipping across
two
the
fingers.
Keyboard.
You're good.
Yeah. One on each hand too. How about that? Yeah. So it was just a matter of just trying to get it out and try and frame it in a way. It was easy for me to do in one sense because all I did was I started to write the way that I think, and I think not always the way that I talk, but in terms of how I get the message out to my clients over the years. And I just started explaining things. So I just sat down and started writing what I remember telling my clients over the years.
So let's just talk about your clients. So who has come to you over the years, and what sort of people and what sort of problems have they come to you with?
I've seen, like, I told somebody a couple of months ago, it's the first time I've heard something new in about 9 or 10 years, and before that I hadn't heard anything new for about 5 years before that. Like, I've pretty much heard it all. People have come to me and told me some of the most astronomical things about themselves and about others as well. You know, some of it unfortunately criminal, and some of it not criminal. But the ones who told me the stuff that was criminal, they'd already done their time, so I didn't have to make any phone calls there. But, I mean, you know, people come to me. Basically, Mike, what it comes down to is it comes down to stress.
Yeah.
Everybody's got stress in their lives of some degree or another at some times or another. And sometimes it spikes and sometimes it doesn't. But it all comes down to stress. And what I found is one of those common denominators I spoke about earlier is it's basically stress. People have stress in their lives. And it affects the way they think, the way they act, and the way they feel. And that comes from a lot of the situations we would have growing up in our formative years. Whether they're conscious or locked in our subconscious mind, we're still acting out on those.
Millions of hours of work are lost per year from stress.
Yeah.
Some people say, oh, why is Joe off today? Stress hour, we're all stressed. Yeah. But we've all got stress in us.
Yep.
And the hardest part, I suppose, is identifying and realizing that you're stressed.
Yeah.
So that's why some people should come to you.
That's correct, yeah. I help people eliminate or at the very least decrease and in many cases eliminate their stress. What we're doing is we're all acting on what's called learned behavior.
Yeah.
And so when people are acting or thinking or feeling in a way that's not adding to the quality of their life, they normally would want change. And that's what I do. I take people from A to point B and we get the change done.
Is the hardest part acknowledging that they're stressed, or they acknowledging, he or she, that they need help, that they're stressed in the first place?
Yeah, well, my particular situation is that people come to me on a voluntary basis. I mean, nobody ever has a gun pointed at their head when they're walking through the door. So,
and they're not referred to you? They're not referred to you by a doctor or anything like that?
Some have been, yeah. Right. I've been getting referrals from a couple of the surgeries around the area. Who are finding out about me and the kind of work that I do. But then those people are still coming to me. You know, they can always say, well, you know, thanks, doc, but, you know, and then just go off. But they actually call me, ring me and say, well, look, you know, can I come and have a consultation and tell you what I'm about and see if you can help me?
Okay. Let's take a quick break and back more. I'm going to talk all about this book.
Yeah, great.
This is the most powerful trigger hose gun in the world. It could blow your marigolds clean off. Do you feel lucky?
Get lucky this spring with Essex and Suffolk Water's Garden Water Saving Kit, including Trigger Hose Gun, water storing crystals and water stick. Save water and save money. To receive your free kit and more water saving tips, simply visit eswater.co.uk. Click on Saving Water and enter promotional code ESWPHOENIX. Offer open to Essex and Suffolk Water customers and while stocks last.
Now in all this excitement, I've forgotten how many bulbs I've used.
In these days of social and electronic news everywhere, it's still good to spend time reading a newspaper. And a newspaper that's local, dealing with issues and stories that you want to read about. The Enquirer Group newspapers are packed with news, views, competitions and real in-depth reporting on the stories that are making today's headlines. With excellent sports coverage as well, make sure you pick up your copy of the Essex or the East London or the Thurrock Enquirer today. The Enquirer Group, a newspaper as it should be.
Phoenix FM and Papa John's Pizza Brentwood invite you to Phoenix Friday live at Old Brentwood's this coming Friday. Supported by TF Cricket Coaching and Steve Roach Live Coach. Performing live from The Voice, Lucy Marie Closier. Beau Flats. Matthew Atwaters. And a lady whose name you'll definitely be familiar with, Laura Quattro. So Devilgate, drive yourself crazy with another awesome lineup. Get your ticket now at phoenixfm.com with Papa John's Pizza Brentwood. It's not just a Friday, it's a Phoenix Friday.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Indeed it is. It is just coming up to 17. Let's start that again in English. 17 minutes past one. I'm talking to Chas Moulton, who's got a fabulous new book. I'm really looking forward to read this. It's called How to Have a Healthy Relationship with Ourself and Others. Is it important, Chas, to have a healthy relationship with yourself before you embark on a relationship with somebody else?
That's the fundamental principle of the whole formula. We have to... I can only do to you what I'm doing to me, right? So I can't respect you any more than I'm respecting myself. I can't trust you if I can't trust me. And if I'm going to trust you or respect you, at some point in time, I would like to think that you might respect or trust me back,
yeah,
right? But so it starts with me trusting you first in order for you to trust me, yeah? But I can't trust you unless I can trust myself. I can't love you unless I love myself. So whatever I'm doing to me, whatever's going on inside of me with me is usually what's, you know, being put out there to the rest of the world, yeah?
You must deal with, on a regular basis, very depressed people. You must deal with people who will come and say, I hate my life, I hate my job, I hate my family, I've got no money, I hate where I live. Where do you begin? How do you lift somebody? That's a massive question.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Well, yes and no.
I'll sit on the couch.
Lean back for a minute. Yeah. Well, no, the thing is, people come to me sometimes. Sometimes there's been a few people that have come with all of that. Sometimes people come with, you know, two or three out of that. But even for the people that come with all of that and a few more that you would have left out unbeknowingly, you know, the thing is, okay, well, look, you know, I've gone through the intake. We've done the consultation, the discovery. Where do you want to start? And I'll throw it back at the client because, you know, it's interactive. It's not me telling you what you need. One of the things that I try to make sure that I never do with my clients is give them advice.
Right. Okay.
And that sounds a little bit strange coming from somebody who purports to be a counselor, a personal development coach, a therapist, all those things that I do. But the reason I do that, or I try not to give advice to people, is because I recognize, one of the things I recognized when I was working in that pizza shop years ago when I was 16 years old, is that most people will tell you that the advice that they've gotten in their life, most of it's been bad. A lot of it's been bad. So people aren't paying me to come have me give them bad advice or advice at all. So basically what I do, I just explain life to people. My job is I see my job, I was just telling one of my clients online earlier, I've got clients overseas that I deal with on Thursdays, and I was just telling one of my clients earlier, what my job is really is, I can't give you anything that you don't already have yourself. I don't have that kind of power. Mm. Yeah. What I do is my job is to reach inside there and bring the tools up that you already have. I blow the dust off of them because probably they have never been used, and maybe in some cases they haven't been used for a while. So my job is to bring those tools up, show you what those tools are. Let's blow the dust off them. I'm going to show you what those tools are and how and when to use them.
Wow.
But it's basically, I tell my clients, you're going to do 80% of the work. I'm only going to do 20% of the work.
Sounds good to me.
Just being honest.
Yeah. If you believe Hollywood, every American has a shrink. Over here, we're British. We surely don't need you. But apparently we do.
Well, some people would say they don't. See, the thing is that...
And you're not a shrink either.
No, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a shrink. But the thing is what this book is all about, it's all about human behavior. It's all about learned behavior in human dynamics. And most people on the planet today have some sort of codependency, some sort of dysfunction in their relationship with somebody somewhere. Some people are dripping. I mean, some people are like way, way out here. It just drips off them everywhere they go. And some people are actually pretty well put together, fairly well balanced. They may have an issue from time to time that pops up here and there, depending on either the person they're dealing with or the particular situation they're in, but they're fairly well keeled. Other people, you know, they're just dysfunction from the time they get up until the time they go back to bed at night. And so there's everybody in between.
Do you think that people also may come back to you for top-ups as well? Let's just give you a scenario. Somebody addicted to wine gums, for example. You treat them, you don't need to eat wine gums, etc. They're fine for 3 years. They come back, fancy a wine gum again. Do you get that sort of... I'm being ridiculous with the wine gum scenario, but do people come back for refresher?
Nobody's ever come back for something that we've dealt with, but I do have clients come back from time to time saying, well, look, you helped me with A...
Can you help me with B?
Yeah, exactly. Now, can you give me a little shot of B?
Okay. Right. Day-to-day stuff. What are you dealing with mainly? Are you dealing with marriage problems? Are you dealing with, well, with what?
Relationships. Just basic relationships. Now, in my world, when I use the word relationships, I'm referring to something a lot wider than just love relationships. You know, boyfriend, girlfriends, husbands, wives, these kinds of things, partners. Yeah. I'm talking about the relationship that you might have with your boss, your employee, your colleague, the guy down the corner that sells you the paper at the newsstand.
Wow. Really?
Any kind of relationship.
Wow, that is deep, then, isn't
it? Yeah.
Do you have things that surprise you on a daily basis? You just said you've heard the same thing five years ago.
I haven't heard anything new for a long time. You're not going to tell me anything.
Well,
you
don't know. I might tell you something. No.
Well, look, I don't mind. If you really want to know, I had somebody sit in front of me one time many years ago. It wasn't in this country. It was someplace else where I used to live. And he said, look, and you recognize it was a he, right? He said, look, he said, I raped my son when he was 9.
Wow.
That was the last time I heard something new.
Yeah. Now, how do you deal with something like that?
I go out and get a little bit of counseling myself.
Yeah.
Right, before I come back and do the session. I mean, all counselors ought to have counselors. I think most of us do. Most coaches, most therapists have their own ways of dealing with some of the things. I have mine, and it seems to be working for me. He had done his time. He wanted to work through some of the other issues that came up over that. And we worked through it over the course of about 10 or 12 weeks, and he went off into the air and was living a very good life. He's got himself sorted out for the most part.
Okay. Right, almost coming to news headlines. Before we do that, I'll just having a quick look at the book. I saw the song, Logical Songs, mentioned here. I want to talk about the book itself. Afternoon, it's this afternoon, Chaz. Come on, teach me to tell the time, get the time right. Right, writing a book is never easy. What was your process? You talked about that you had a brain dump, but you must have had some sort of planning in the beginning. Is it a book you've been writing for the last 25 years in your head, but you just haven't put a pencil to paper?
I suspect that's probably a good way to describe it. You know, I got a lot of advice on different ways that people who have written books write books. Sit down every day and at least for 30 minutes, even if nothing comes, sit down and write for 2 hours every other day, get so many words done per week, and all these different formulas. And I just know what works for me. And I started in June last year, June the 11th, actually, last year. And I it took me about 3 or 4 days to get that first 11,000 words out. Then I just went away for a couple of weeks and got the rest sort of fermented in my head a little bit. Got to the end after 20,000, 22,000 words, I started to do a little bit of research because there were some salient points that I wanted to put into the book about things that I had not spoken about on a regular basis for a long time. Yeah. I just needed to go back and just do my research and check to make sure that what I thought I knew was really the truth, because, I'm writing a book like this, I can't afford to be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I did a little bit of research, then I sort of sat down and regurgitated some of that, put some of my own thoughts about that into perspective, and then finished it off and sent it. I had it edited on two different fronts. First, I had it edited for spelling and grammar and, T-H-E-N, T-H-A-N, those kinds of things, and punctuation. Then I sent it out to a couple of people who I know who actually, like me, know a little bit about the subject and could tell me if I was, really way off base or whether I should just publish it or forget it. And they came back and they said, it's phenomenal. You need to get this out. Okay. So that's exactly what I did.
Where's that beeping coming from? I can hear it. Oh, there's a that's where it's coming from.
Your next guest arriving?
Yeah, by a lorry.
Okay.
That shouldn't happen. Yeah. Okay, I was just going to say, when you sat down to, press the first keyboard for the first time, reading Michael McIntyre's book, he said, he sat down there, he bought a new chair, new desk, had his new laptop, etc., and he wallpapered, and it was all lovely and clean, and then he went, I don't know what to write. But then he wrote about what he just, so that worked for him, and it worked for you, obviously,
yeah,
as well.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So the next step, of course, is you've written your manuscript, etc., and then the toughest part is getting somebody to publish for you. How difficult was it to find a publisher?
Well, I didn't even bother to try. I self-published the book. I just took. I mean, HarperCollins wasn't calling on the phone, so I just decided, maybe I should just go ahead and do this myself. So I did.
Okay, well, that's a very brave thing to do. Now, okay, the hardest part then is going to be the distribution, etc.
Yeah.
So how are you going about that?
I have a book launch next week here in Brentwood. I have another one in London on the 19th, where I'll actually be making a presentation about some of the information that's in the book for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Just doing a little bit of PR marketing. I'm now getting into the social media scene that way.
You're tweeting and your Facebook.
I'm learning how to get all that done, and I need to get all that done. And let's leave that there for now. All the good stuff.
Okay. Who are you hoping is going to pick this up?
The book is probably going to be attractive to people who are contemplating change. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that could use what's in the book, but they're not interested in change because they either don't think they have any issues or they know they have issues but don't want to do anything about it. And that's fine. But then there are people who know that they have issues, probably think that maybe there's something not quite right and maybe what they could do is try and look for some help. Those are the people who are going to be interested in the book.
You're not doing yourself out of business, are you? You're not stopping somebody coming to see you who now will just pick up your book and read it rather.
Oh, no, not at all. No, not at all. No, not at all.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Tell us how you've structured the book. Is it a book you can dip into? Is it a book that you must need to read from cover to cover?
No, you don't have to read it from cover to cover, although there's a sequence, there's a particular way that I did structure and format it, going from the first page to the last page. But you can come in anywhere and get a lot of good nuggets and a lot of good information. At the end of each chapter, there are some exercises and questions that would provoke you to do different things. Write out some things, talk into your phone on occasion, into your voice recorder. You can get information in any part of the book that's going to help you. But I started by telling you, what it is that I'm talking about, then how we got this way, why we got this way, and how that starts to manifest itself in our lives, particularly as we become adults. And then if you want to do something about it, the last part of the book, the last section, the fourth section, is really a program on that you can follow on your own if you want, or you can come and get a little bit extra help with it.
Okay.
That if you want to make some changes, just follow along.
tough question now. Why should I pick up your book and not a colleague of yours who may have done something similar? Is there a similar book out on the market?
Not that I'm aware of. I've done a lot of research before I put it out. Nobody's explaining it the way that I'm explaining it.
Okay. And have you given this to fellow professionals to look at, and what's the reaction been if you have done that?
Yeah, phenomenal. They're over the moon about it. They're wishing they had written it.
Well, Chad, thank you very much for coming in. I think you're very brave publishing yourself, but sometimes that's the only way. Same as if you're a musician, you know, the only way to get your music out there is you've taken a big risk, but if you're telling me that the sort of feedback already is in your own words, phenomenal, then it can only be a success. Right, how do we get hold of this book? Where can we find it? Can we get it online, etc.? Sell it to me.
Yeah, I've got the book that... I can sell you the book myself, yeah. But in about... what's today? Thursday, Friday? Yeah. So about the end of next week, the book should be available on Amazon. It just takes a couple of weeks to get organized with
that's
them.
That's a good start. That's a
good
start.
The book will be available on Amazon. All I'm asking anybody who picks the book either from me or if they get it from one of their colleagues or one of the mates or if they go on Amazon and get it, just do something nice for me and go on Amazon and write a review.
Okay. Incidentally, I published two films, two documentaries 3 years ago, one on the history of Upminster, one on the history of Hornchurch, and hour-long DVDs and sold in Lonker shops. They're on Amazon. I haven't put them in Amazon, and they're a pound more than I sold them. I don't know how that works. Can you buy the book locally? Have you got any local booksellers interested?
Not yet. It doesn't quite work that way.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm working a few little angles and a few people that I know that might help get that done. And yeah. when it is, I'll make an announcement for sure.
Okay, well, all I can say is I hope the book launch goes really well here and in London. And it does well, and perhaps you can come back and talk to us a little bit further down the line and tell us how it's gone, etc. And, talk to us more, because you're a fascinating man to talk to.
I promise to do that. Thank you, Mike.
That's right. And no, you are. And as some listeners have already said, have tweeted in. I'm going to have a good read on this, and thank you very much indeed. It's called Choice and Change. It's published by Ches Moulton. Ches, if you go on his website, it's www.chesmoulton.com. You can, I'm sure, purchase the book directly from you there. Has that worked with PayPal or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, my friend, Choice and Change then by Ches Moulton, published by himself. ChesMoulton.com is the website. Thank you very much for coming in.